Hello, everybody. Welcome back to Bags, a podcast for below average golfers by two below average golfers. My name is Owen Smith, as always, joined by Caleb Wallen. And Caleb, how are you doing tonight?
Feeling good, man. Coming off a career round almost, so we'll get into that. But yeah, feeling good.
Yeah, I mean, I was trying to save it up for the podcast. I saw a notification come through. So excited to see what that round was all about. I'm coming fresh off a trip down to Myrtle Beach, so got to play some golf down there, and played a course that I actually found one of the cool Instagram accounts that I found, and definitely encourage people to go check out. I think it's called Courses You Need to Play. I think is like the exact name of their page. But they do a really good job at highlighting different courses across the country, and, you know, really focus in on some of those hot spots such as Myrtle Beach, for, you know, maybe, Diamonds in the Rough, or, you know, different ones that just are, you know, I think there's a couple of, when I see recommendations for Myrtle Beach, there's a couple that are like the same recommendations, and you look at the fees for those courses, and you look at like, just all the costs associated with it, and you're like, yeah, I can see why that's a recommendation, but maybe just not something that I'm willing to completely exactly. spend a lot of money on. So I think that page does a great job, and I'm trying to get them, or at least one. I think it's ran by a couple people, but we'll love to try to get one of them on the podcast to kind of talk about their journey, because they've blown up a lot. And I think their model is pretty cool. So. But either way, they introduced me to a course, called The Wizard. It is part of like, there's like three sister courses, a part of kind of this little family that they've got going of courses. And, it was not the cheapest by any means, just given like, it was the cheapest option of the quality courses that I found. But still it kind of ran me $100 per player, and yep. Paid for Brittany and I, but, either way, it was a vacation we had been planning for it. So, I know to some people $100 for golf is standard, but, out here in Indiana, it's rare that you're getting into, you know, above $70 for 18 holes. So, but for either sure. way, played some golf, played a little best ball action. Which was fun to do. Just, I think it makes that so much more enjoyable, for Brittany and I, which was exciting. So, either way, speaking a lot, but yeah, I mean, a lot more to get into, of course. As we announced on last episode, we're going to a biweekly model, really until the spring time, maybe a little earlier. There's, you know, limited things to talk about in the golf world. And last year we tried the whole weekly model, and, you know, we're kind of grasping at straws a little bit to get together some content. So we're slowing it down a little, but we're hoping that when we do come back every other week, that they're a little more action packed and more to talk about here. So, Caleb, before we get into the full episode of everything, I'm very intrigued to hear about what happened with your round, because it looked like it's one of the best scores I've seen you shoot this year for sure, but maybe ever. So what happened?
Yeah. So Dad and I went out, got out to Hawk's Tail here in Greenfield, little afternoon before the sunset kind of round. It was a pretty good day. There was still, you know, not much of a breeze, but enough to keep you cool, and it wasn't super cool. The sun was still out and the weather was really nice, but it almost felt like it was just Dad and I, which was really yeah. weird, because like I thought, okay, a good evening like this, there's gonna be a ton of people out, we might not even get through nine, but sure enough we did. Got out there. I've been trying something new with my driver. I know we've kind of teased it here a little bit, but, you know, trying to relax a little bit more while still staying upright, with my, you know, chest up and out and everything like that. And it seems to be working, pretty well. I've gotten a lot of compliments from coworkers that I've played with recently about, you know, okay, any outing that I have next year, I want you there, because it's a lot more fun playing from less than 100 yards than it is from 150 plus.
Yeah.
Like, it's, you know, toot my own horn there a little bit, but I think that's definitely helped with that. But yeah, we get out there. I didn't realize that there were aerated greens. Just showed up and met Dad on the first tee, and you know, we kind of went for it. And you know, first hole went pretty well. Hit one just off the fairway up onto the green. Actually, it was just off the green, but chipping was when I found out that they were aerated. But yeah, chipped up and got up and down for a par there. And then number two, I had one of the best drives that I've ever had on number two. It was right down the pipe. It was, if you know Hawkstail at all, on number two, there's kind of like a little dip in the middle of the fairway. And if you don't, you know, most of the time I'm either at the bottom of the dip or on the upslope of it.
Mm-hmm.
But cleared that. I was on that top shelf and had about 170 in, 180 in. Hit it just short and birdied. So, you know, feeling pretty good. One under, you know, through two. Got to hole number three, and I told myself, okay, I'm going to aim just a smidge left, because, you know, I'm going to hit a cut, and, you know, the pin's on the back right. Like, it'll be fine. Sure enough, the ball goes straight as an arrow. And when I get to the green, it's literally, my ball mark is literally like, I could have dunked it. And I was mad at myself, because I was like, I don't want to aim at the hole because it's going to cut a little bit. So had the opportunity for another birdie there. Missed it, not because of the aeration, but just missed it. And then the next kind of hole, next few holes were kind of the same, 4, 5, and 6. Ran into a little bit of trouble with the aerated greens, but I made some, at least two putts that were from like 10 feet, 15 feet
dang,
with the aerated greens. And I'm thinking to myself, okay, yeah, like, this is going to be a good day if I'm rolling the rock like this. So, was able to keep through par there, got to 7. And I was like, okay, I'm aiming straight for the green. The pin is in the front. So it was pretty reachable. Ended up pulling it left, and all I had left was short-sided over the bunker. And I thought to myself, the only way that I can get up and down is if I just hit a massive flop shot. Like, that's all that I had. Almost Westwood style.
Oh, no.
The flop shot.
Yeah. Uh-oh.
So I do so, and in midair, I'm thinking, oh, man, this is so short. Like, this is in the bunker. Now I'm going to have a tough bunker shot out, because that lip up there in the front's kind of high. It flies the bunker and lands on the green, and I thought to myself, okay, it's going in. So I even yelled over to Dad. I said, it's going in. It didn't go in, but it stopped like 2 inches from the hole. So a nice tap in birdie there.
Yeah.
8, I tried to hit a slice. Well, I tried to hit a fade.
Yeah.
On the par 5 8 to go around the trees over the creek, hit a slice. But got very fortunate when it hit the tree and kicked it to the middle of the fairway.
Nice.
Stuck one close. About 15 feet. Aerated green screwed me on the eagle putt for sure. But tap in birdie. So I was 2 under going into hole number 9. And hole number 9 at Hawkstail is really like, it's the one that just gives me the middle finger every time, I feel like.
Yeah.
It happened in high school. It's happened plenty of times since. So I told myself, okay, it's just like any other hole. Like, I'm not going to let it get me. I'm not even going to think about the field on the left. It's just going to be, you know, just another hole. Hit an okay drive. Ended up underneath the tree, pretty much, that's in the middle of the fairway.
Mm-hmm.
And, chipped it short. And so, okay, the pin was on the bottom tier. I had about 10 feet. So I told myself, okay, we're going to chip up. We're going to putt in. It's going to be 3 under. It's going to be career round.
Yeah.
Well, I blew it past the hole and had a tricky putt coming back down, and then I had to tap in for bogey. So I was not able to finish at 3 under, finished at 2 under, but at Hawkstail, that is a career round.
That's awesome.
Being 2 under and then nearly 3 under for a career in my life round.
There we go. Well, congratulations. I saw that come through, and like I said, was saving it for the podcast. And yeah, I was thanks for taking us through, because I was wondering, you know, was it just a, what was the feeling? It sounds like, I know how you can get, you're riding the highs. Like, I know how confident you get during those moments. So it sounds like you had some confidence boost here and there with flop shots and almost dunking it on a par three, and just the, yep, some of the luck that you were getting off a slice and all of that. So that's good. But I know, I'm sure it's going to bother you not being able to get that 3 under, but the fact that you can, you know, get, have that 2 under and have that record round, kudos to you on that one. So good stuff.
Yeah, man.
Good stuff. But, well, yeah, well, I think we'll take it into, I mean, that kind of, sounds like it was a pretty big high. So we'll go ahead and get into, just a quick golf season recap for each of us individually. Just kind of talking through our highs and lows of it. So, I guess we'll give you that high. What are some other highs that you had from the season? Or no. We'll talk about the lows first. I want to end on a good note here.
Talk about the lows first. All right.
You just had it. You had a really good high, so you kind of get a roller coaster effect here. We'll throw it to you with the lows. Like, what were your lows of the season?
I'm trying to think. I didn't lose to my wife this year, so I can't use that. which is good. Let's see. I know I didn't play the way that I wanted to as a whole, when we were on our golf trip to Michigan.
Yeah.
So as far as golf specifically, I would call that a low, but you know, being with you, being with Teed, and then our wives and kids, it was pretty good.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's a low. Trying to think. Scott did really well with us this year. So I'm thinking there's not as many lows as there is highs, which is good. Excuse me. But yeah, excited for where we can go from here.
Yeah, and sorry, Caleb, you might have been cutting out just a little bit. So just to briefly recap, sounds like not many lows for the season. Sounds like because Coach Scott got us right, that you know, ultimately felt pretty good about the year outside of the golf that was played in Michigan. You know, had some pretty high highs there. So, ultimately it sounds like it was a pretty good year, and hopefully we got your audio still. Are you still with us?
Yeah. And, like you said, that, you know, Scott helped us out, and I think if we can, tweak just a little bit more and get a little bit better, then next year is going to be even more fun.
There we go. Yeah, that's all we can ask for, is just continue to do some of the tweaking there, and just continue to be the best versions of ourselves as much as we can. So I'll hit my lows real quick. Don't have a ton. I mean, ultimately, and we'll get into the highs, like, ultimately felt pretty good about the year. I didn't quite reach the goals that I was necessarily, I guess that I aimed out for, but I think some of my goals were they were aligned more with the fact that I thought I would be able to play more golf than I did. So maybe that's a low, whereas like I maybe set my expectations a little too high for the amount of golf I thought I was going to be able to play and what I was going to be able to accomplish in that. You know, or had a, I tend to go through a phase on this with golf, where I kind of have a, you know, when the season starts, I start getting very like ready to go into it. And, you know, try to play a lot more. And then as the season kind of goes on, I guess part of the issue that I run into, is that I just get busy with life and get busy with work and family life and all of that. And I almost get a little fatigued from golf. And that happened a little bit for me. I haven't played a ton of golf, probably from August until now. My golf has kind of died down a little bit, and that's just kind of the nature of my family life and everything that kind of goes on there. It's very seasonal, with how some of the things just work out for, you know, family and all of that. Either way, with that all being said, like, some of the lows outside of the amount of golf that I wanted to play, I definitely lost a little bit of what I had been working on all winter. And that was pretty frustrating for me, because I had put so much time and effort into the winter on, you know, changing my swing and like really trying to figure out this slice. And even as late as August, I was still going to, you know, I had to schedule an in-person lesson to really get my stuff figured out. So that I could be ready to go for the Bags Birdie Challenge. And that was like, a little frustrating for me, where I spent all this time and effort on it, and I still like just wasn't seeing the exact return from it, because I maybe lost a little bit of that, like, not want to improve, but almost like the effort into, like, you almost forget how much goes into making changes a little bit. And like, as you get distracted by playing 18 hole rounds or, you know, 9 hole rounds, and, you know, trying to, rather than going to your garage or simulator, it's a lot easier, it's a lot more convenient, whatever. And I lost a little bit of like that hard work and effort towards improving, and therefore kind of lost some of the stuff that I was working on. So trying to be a little more intentional with that. But ultimately, I'll just segue into the highs a little bit. Like, for me, I think my handicap as of right now is lowered to like a 14.5, I think, or 14.7, something like that. And went as low as a 14. I started the season, I was like 18, 19. So to knock off, you know, this is the best, all things considered, this is the best golf that I've ever been playing. I've been able to eliminate a lot of my errors, to be able to get down. Clearly a lot more work to be done. But very happy with where I'm at. And again, all the lows considered, the fact that I lost some of the progress that I made in the winter, the fact that I didn't play as much golf as I thought I would, et cetera. And the fact that I'm still able to say, hey, this is the best golf that I'm ever playing. Like, that's something that I'm very happy with and very proud of. So, have a couple other highs, but Caleb, I've been talking for a while. You were doing some audio adjustment and all of that, so I'll kick it back over to you. But, what are some highs that, you have for the season this year?
Yeah. So, I mean, one of the highs was actually during the Michigan round, the 145 yard.
Oh yeah.
Chip in birdie, or punch in birdie, yeah. I guess. That was a pretty good one. Let's see. Another one would have been the birdie challenge.
Of course.
Just that whole day was
awesome. I was reserving that one. I was hoping you would end with that. So I was like, I'm going to let him talk a little bit about his game. But yeah, clearly the birdie challenge is like the highlight of the year, the high of the highs. So
for sure.
Let's keep going.
But yeah, I would say another high, which is, it's kind of funny because in that workouting that I played with my coworkers that I'd never played with before, we actually ended up winning, score 15 under. Okay. But like, it was just a fundraiser. Yeah. So there was no pro shop credit, yeah. You know, no, nothing. It was just like, thanks for coming out. You guys And really, we didn't even – so I added up the score on the scorecard wrong. So we showed minus 14. And, like, we got to the clubhouse and somebody was like, oh, yeah, you guys are tied for first. And then I, like, get there and I'm looking at it, like, the next day. Like, that just doesn't look right. And I'm like, oh, shoot, we were minus 15. So, like, we would have won that thing. So, yeah, that was a high for sure. Yeah. Saying that I've won a golf tournament this year. Hoping we can do that, you know, next year at some point. Trying to think, you know, just feeling myself get better was something. You know, I got my handicap as low as an 8 and now it's back up since, but, you know, like you, we've touched our career best. So that's been pretty cool. Gives me some, hey, you know, competitive juices to, you know, let's get better, you know, over the off season and, you know, improve that even more. So excited about that. Really just appreciating, you know, golf for what it is. You know, like you mentioned, we probably didn't get out as much as we wanted to, you know, having a family, being, I would say, pretty decent dads. Yeah. You know, we like to put our family first a lot. And so, you know, we try to do that and then, you know, play golf when we can. I'm sure Amelia would probably say that it's the other way, but, you know, hopefully she wouldn't. But yeah, I mean.
Well, on that point, I mean, I feel the same exact way. I don't want that to go like unnoticed, right? Is like, I think that the transition that you and I both have had to make with, you know, being dads is like that we go from the ability, and like we've seen the jokes on Instagram or Twitter where it's like, after, you know, before a wife, you can golf 7 times a week. After, you know, once you get a girlfriend, it's like 5 times a week. Once you're married, it's like 3 times a week. Once you have a kid, it's like once a week. Once you have 2 kids, it's once a month. And like, it just, once you have 3 kids, it's, you get to watch the majors on Sunday. Like, it's just like the, you know, right. There's a lot that happens in that. And I think for me personally, like that's a high for me, is like, I have now grown to like appreciate the opportunities that I am awarded to be able to even play this game. And recognize that, like, although golf is amazing, we have a podcast, we're always going to be talking about it. Like, golf is just, it's just a game and it's just something that we go and do, and very thankful that we have it. But it's not the end all be all. And I think like sometimes when you're in it, it's like, you can get very caught up and like, if I don't get better, then I'm going to be so pissed off for the rest of this week. It's like, no, man, like just enjoy. Like although I've gotten better and like, I want to improve, like, I'm also in a position where, like, as long as I play, you know, pretty consistent with where I'm at, I think I'd be okay the rest of my life. Like, I don't think that I would be frustrated. Like, clearly there's going to be frustration. Like, there's no lying about that. But like, I think I'd be okay if like, if I can go out, play once or twice a week, if that, and be able to put up the scores that I can, I think I'm pretty happy with that. Like, and that's me as a 14.
Yeah. I mean,
you know what I mean? So.
Yeah. And, you know, we're always striving to get better. So, you know, we can do the little things when we can, but, you know, like you said, it's different now.
It's different. Life's different, but either way, any other highs or lows or anything you want to throw out there before we kind of move on?
Yeah. The low is the Ryder Cup. Still not over that. I read a thing today that said that Ricky and Colin are no longer angry over the Ryder Cup. That kind of irked me a little bit. I'm still pissed. But we'll move on eventually. We'll do our thing in the President's Cup, and then we'll come back next year, or, you know, the following year, and absolutely wreck the Europeans and on home soil. Oh, yeah. But until then, still going to be a little salty about that. But yeah, the high to that is looking forward to the beatdown.
Yeah. Well, that's good. And I'll throw one more out there, aside from the Ryder Cup. And if we're kind of thinking in the professional golf sense, is like, you know, very thankful for the opportunities to watch professional golf, but it is a very, very weird place right now. And we still have no idea like what it's actually going to look like. Is this merger actually going to happen? Like there's been kind of like this dark cloud over the PGA Tour because of LIV and because of like potential merger acquisition, whatever is going on there. Like it definitely takes away from it. But a high of that is like, the majors and like, right. And, you know, partially the Ryder Cup, like starting to let some of those guys back in that aren't complete, you know, D bags. Like that's a pretty cool thing to see some of that, like to see that there is still some relationships with like a Brooks Koepka or whatever. But yeah.
Right.
And then aside, and this is like purely a fan view, is, definitely a low was like seeing Rory McIlroy. Like I'm a huge Rory McIlroy fan, been very transparent about that, and just seeing like how he had another disappointing April is just very like discouraging as a fan. Like I want to see him win the Masters. I really hope that he has an opportunity, but like this year I had a lot of hope going into it and just lost that hope on the first day. And it was just like, oh my gosh, very discouraging. But either way, we're one day, 1 month closer to the Masters next year. So that's always a good time. But pivoting beyond just the highs and lows of our season, wanted to talk about how we can sprinkle in golf or how we plan to sprinkle in golf until the springtime. The reality is it's October 18th. As we're recording this, our, you know, opportunities are becoming less and less to play any golf after work, which means you start to get limited to the weekends. And as we've mentioned, as dads and as, you know, strong family men, very hard to work that into family schedules and all of that. So really, oh, yeah. You know, golf is maybe less than five, maybe even less than two. If we're talking, you know, real go out and play golf opportunities. So with that being said, Caleb, I know you and I have kind of, you know, done some simulator golf and all of that before. But like, what is your plan this year until really March? I mean, spring's getting a little warmer and warmer every year. So, or, you know, starting a little earlier every year. So March is almost kind of the timeline. But yeah, what's your plan from now until March, April to really kind of keep yourself engaged in golf?
Yeah, it's going to be, you know, take advantage of the warm days that are open, what little of those are left. And then probably just turn my attention to simulator golf and understand that, hey, our real only option here is simulator golf, considering we're not going to, you know, take a private jet anywhere south to go play, and not having like vacation days at work, starting a new job. Like I can't, you know, just take that off. So yeah, it'll be pretty much strictly simulator golf. I'd really like to dial in the putting a little bit, at the house or, you know, the chipping. Just, I've always been a decent chipper. I kind of lost it at the beginning of the summer. It started to come back. I don't want to see that leave again because that was tough. Seeing like the one thing that I've really always been good at in golf kind of just fade away for a little bit like that. Just that was mentally taxing. So don't want to lose that. So hopefully it's simulator golf, it's chipping, and it's putting.
No, that's good. I mean, we know the downsides of simulators, of course, like it's not the same experience, but it is a good opportunity and it seems to be becoming more and more accessible. The prices are still a little jacked up, of course, but that's a topic for another day. But either way, like we have some opportunities around us for that. And you know, chipping and putting, or at least kind of getting the putting stroke and all of that, you know, figured out and dialed in, is definitely more easy, you know, easier to do throughout the house, or, you know, using a putting mat or whatever it may be. So, good to hear that. Yeah. I don't know. I'm not exactly sure. I mean, on my plans, like I definitely want to get some simulator golf in. You know, I tried to do a little bit of a setup in the garage last year with a net and with like a little mat, and it worked, and like it definitely is like better than nothing, but it isn't like the most ideal place to be working on your golf swing, or without the proper like setup. Like I have the space available. It's just to get the proper like mat that you can consistently hit your clubs on. And like, you know, I got new clubs this year, which I'll throw that in the high category, like got new clubs this year. But I, with that, with the new clubs, you want to be more conservative with, where you are hitting those clubs and how you are hitting those clubs versus last offseason. I had a set that was about 3 or 4 years old. So, was a little more open with, where I would be hitting that. And, you know, maybe if a scuff happened, I wouldn't care as much. So definitely have to kind of rethink my strategy on it, a little bit, and, you know, keeping cost in mind as well, both on either at home setup or paying to go to a simulator. But I have this perfect practice putting mat and all this different like tools available to me. I got some birdie balls. Like I have these different things right in front of me, right, that I've spent money on that I definitely could start getting some use out of. But yeah, I don't know. Just gonna kind of like, it's a we'll see. I think I'm gonna give it a little bit before I fully decide on my strategy. Maybe next episode we can talk a little bit more of like my full plans, what I really plan to do, or like what my real goals are for next year. But for now, I'm kind of like slow playing it, enjoy the last, you know, opportunities to go play some real golf. Hopefully we're awarded some decent weather to be able to do that. And just kind of do the little things for a little bit there. So,
there's always putting the simulator in Cole's garage.
There is that. That would be a, We talked about it a little bit at Wesley's birthday party. Cole's a mutual, yeah, mutual friend, family member, whatever you want to call him. He has a nice little setup. I have the Garmin R10 still. So just be a little bit of crowdsourcing on some of the other materials needed to make something like that happen. So always a possibility there. Always a possibility there. But maybe some workshopping and brainstorming to do on that one. But either way, what else, what do you got in mind for the off season outside of that? Is there any kind of other thoughts that you wanted to get out on the record?
Yeah. Really, really going to try to plan and coordinate, my team for the upcoming Bags Cup. I honestly would be lying if I told you that I don't think about it at least twice a week at work. I'll sit there and look at, you know, the group of guys that, I sent messages to, and thankfully all of them said, yeah, let's do it. So it's just about finding the time that we can all get out there with, you know, my squad and your squad. But I'm like, okay, if I put so-and-so with so-and-so, you know, how will that look? Or, you know, if I put dad with Cole or dad with Seth, like, you know, what would that do or what would that look like? And so, just, it's going to be a lot of racking my brain, yeah, you know, kind of like, hopefully more stricter than Zach Johnson. Yeah, I was gonna say,
you
but,
might be giving this more thought than CJ
hopefully
was.
Hopefully we can. Hey, this would be the first like competitive thing of golf since like, you know, our bags, yeah, league. And I mean, obviously looking back at that, you and I set ourselves up to fail. I can't believe we didn't think more about that. But yeah, you know, it's going to be the first competitive or potential competitive rounds of golf that I have in X amount of years, probably. So always thinking about that.
Yeah,
for sure.
No, that's I definitely give it thought. And we were trying to pull off something this past summer, and it was kind of too short notice. I mean, when you're trying to coordinate up to 16 different schedules or whatever we're kind of planning for, like it's just, it's pretty tough to try to pull that off. It takes a little more time and effort to really kind of plan out, you know, what location, but also like get everybody aligned on a certain date and, you know, really kind of scout for that a little bit. So definitely excited for all of that. So you have one more note here. It said tease some future guests for the podcast. So curious, we've talked a little bit, of course, but curious to see what you've got in mind.
Yeah, so definitely want to try to get Verska back on. It's been a while since we've talked to our pal over at Callaway. So hopefully we can work out, you know, getting him back on. But Amelia's cousin actually just qualified for some amateur tournament. Oh. And I'm not sure if Dan is listening, but Dan, if you are listening, I apologize. But yeah, excited to hear his experience with that. I want to say that it was in Myrtle Beach.
Oh.
So, you know, Dan, I have not had the luck of being able to play with him yet. But I'm looking forward to at some point getting out there with him. But yeah, excited to hear his experience down, I believe, in Myrtle Beach, and that how, you know, the qualifying process and all of that, and see how that goes. And then, through the Birdie Scholarship, you know, we had that, story in the newspaper, in our local newspaper, and actually had, a former EH golfer, former Ball State golfer. So as far as that goes, we kind of took the same path. I played in college, but I didn't play collegiately. Yeah. I was on the club team. So we kind of have the same path, golfed at EH, you know, golfed while we were at Ball State. And then it turns very, very different when he moved down to Florida and became a caddy and was able to caddy for presidents and Tiger and Brooks Koepka and MJ, you know, so excited to see if we can get him on for a couple episodes, couple filler episodes, and hear some of his stories from some of
them. For sure. Yeah. I completely forgot about that one, honestly. And I don't know how. I think that because that was right before the Birdies Challenge when we were out in the news, you know, got connected when we were, you know, through the newspaper and all of that. So until you brought that up, kind of forgot. So that would be cool to kind of hear all the stories from that, you know, not only kind of growing up and playing collegiate golf, but then also like parlaying that into some sort of, you know, caddy career, and clearly a successful one if you're being a caddy for that level of golfer or that level of celebrity,
right,
or president, whatever it may,
right,
be. So that'll be exciting. Yeah, like I said, you know, always kind of reaching out to different people. Of course, want to get Coach Scott back on the program and, you know, just
absolutely
get his thoughts and see what he's working on as well. You know, want to, like I said, kind of reach out to different, you know, I've started to notice more different angles of the golf world, like the Instagram page I talked about at the start of the episode, like really kind of like seeing how different people are growing the game, you know, not only just like going out and playing, but like introducing people to hidden gems or whatever it may be. And you know, like I said, with those guys specifically, like that course, it was great. Definitely what they, you know, what they just spoke about, and you know, was able to, you know, really enjoy that experience thanks to them. But either way, so yeah, trying to get some people like that on, and like you said, Verska, it's been a while, so be good to kind of hear what's going on in his world. And yeah, I mean, of course, we've had previous other guests, so always like kind of keeping them in the loop on everything. But if you have any recommendations, or honestly, if you're a listener, like as we talk about this off season, like it does become a little more difficult with each episode to like really kind of have the content for it until pro golf, you know, PGA Tour golf kind of comes around, and when our own golf comes around. So like, even if you're a guest and you just want to come on and talk golf with us, like our listener, and you just want to come be a guest and talk golf with us, like please do reach out to us. You can reach out to us on Twitter. You can reach out to our email, which we'll have in the description below, and all of that. So always open to just hear people's stories and share people's stories around golf. So Caleb, any last thoughts for today's episode? Okay. Well, it's, you can still donate to the Bags, you know, Birdie Challenge, for the Travis Sherritt Growing the Game, Foundation. Now it's more kind of just donating directly to that. We may have more opportunities down the road to, you know, get more dynamically involved or whatever it may be, but, appreciate everybody's, you know, continued support on that. Like I said, we're on the bi-weekly model now, so we won't see you until November 1st or 2nd. So everybody have a great Halloween, and next thing you know, we'll be talking about Thanksgiving and Christmas and all of that. So thanks everybody for, you know, always sticking with us. And as always, it's been Owen Smith and Caleb Wallen for the Below Average Golfers, and we'll see you guys next time.